What a great word about church finances. And what a beautiful act of praise to God that is in and of itself, let alone the songs we're singing today. And thank you for your faithfulness, just as Matt said, and your devotion to what God is wanting to do here in his church, drawing people, including ourselves, closer to his heart. And you know, it has been quite a week, and it's really good to be here. Many of you are aware of the fact that our family has been holding what is now a 10-day vigil at my father-in-law's bedside as he is drawing close to heaven. And I have my phone on silent, but I could expect a text. We rejoice in that, but it's sad at the same time because we're here and we're going to miss Ben. But your prayers and encouragement have been wonderful. The last words of the song we just sang really, really come home to me. And I've been thinking about this all week because the reality that this puts into our lives of an eternal perspective, when we affirm who the Son of God sets free, oh, is free indeed, because I'm a child of God. That, yes, I am. And in my Father's house, there is a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. What an awesome thing to know. Because Jesus died to set us free, and when we fully open our hearts to him, we know there is a place in our Father's house and in this place right here as beloved children of God. Today we're going to talk about how this sense of belonging gives hope and direction to how we live and how we serve alongside one another. Back in the fall, you may remember, we started to re-articulate our church's missional vision. And if you remember, it centers around seeking God's renewal. Earnestly looking for God to renew our lives as we allow him to take control of our lives. Just like the song that I quoted last week, it bears repeating. If you remember this, the words, God, you don't need me, but somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me, and somehow that sets me, that somehow that frees me to take my hands off of my life and the way it should go. By the way, I feel like my words are having a little hard time getting out this morning. It's been a little sleep-deprived week, so bear with me. But this is about giving God the controlling interest in our lives, which, despite how that may sound, that doesn't constrain us at all to allow God to have control, but rather it gives us life. It allows us, it frees us to experience life in the fullness that God intends for us and desires for us. As God makes us new, renewed over and over again, where we know that to be forgiven gives us freedom to live with hope and joy and no regrets. Doesn't that sound good? And in seeking God's renewal, what we do is we grab onto some practical missional aspects of what that means. Because we don't want renewal just for ourselves. Can we repeat that? We don't want renewal just for ourselves, but as God renews us by the power of the Holy Spirit, our greatest desire then becomes sharing that renewal, that good news, with the people around us. And we're talking about seeking God's renewal in our 5x5, if you remember that expression. It's down the hallways, too, and posters. And this means committing ourselves, individually and corporately, to actively sharing the good news of God's promise of salvation and healing with at least 5 of our own neighbors, people that live close to us, that are in proximity to our daily lives. And then, as a church family, to be aware of the community and caring for the people who live at least within the first 5-mile radius of our building, of the place where we meet. Which then, all of that together, personally and corporately, comes down to being a church that's devoted to sharing the gospel of salvation that is in Jesus Christ. And if you remember, the word gospel in the New Testament, literally from the Greek, means good news. And when we have come into a relationship with Jesus as Savior and Lord, that was the best news ever. But news is never truly good unless it's shared. So our greatest hope and prayer for this new year is that our local Excelsior church family will give ourselves fully to sharing the gospel. And from that starting point, working to see God's righteous priorities impacting the transformation of society. The gospel of salvation and the transformation of society is what God calls us to in this life. And our world desperately needs that. If I can twist around an old anecdote and say this, Christians should be so heavenly minded that we are of incredible earthly good. And that's what our world needs right now. Followers of Jesus who get down to basics. We could say those who have returned to our first love, which is Jesus Christ. As you can imagine, I've had a lot of in and outs of the parking garage at Methodist Hospital this week. First name basis with the parking attendants. I'm not kidding. On one occasion, I asked the attendant how his day was going, and he said, well, you know, my wife and I the other day decided we needed to get back to basics. So we decided to reenact our first date. And I said, hey, that's great. And then I'm looking in my rearview mirror, and there's all these cars piling up behind us, right? And there's a pause. The guy pauses, and then he says, yeah, back to basics. We went to the same restaurant as on our first date. I held her hand. We talked for hours. And then I dropped my wife off at her mom's house. Back to basics, I guess. Now, in our own spiritual life, when we talk about getting back to basics, we have to recognize that God has, in ways, matured us spiritually through the years. But occasionally, we need to be reminded of what it means to love and follow Jesus and to seek his ongoing renewal in our lives. If we think of this renewal vision like the roof of a house, just get this picture going. That's the roof of the house. And we could say the Holy Spirit is like the foundation, right? Well, then what we've been talking about, and we did this back in the fall, and we're doing it now, there are four pillars that hold up the roof of renewal and that help us understand what it means to partner with God to bless our 5x5 and mature us in our own faith at the same time. So over this next month, we're going to be revisiting those pillars in a series we call Vision 2.0, which is very unoriginal, but it gets the point across. We're going to look at the four pillars. And they are connecting people to Jesus and one another through spirit-filled worship, relevant study, sharing hope, and compassionate service. Today, we're going to take a few minutes to think about relevant study. And Lindsay, you did a wonderful job of just sharing your heart on that. And so thank you so much. The stories that are to be told of how God is at work in our lives is super important. We want to tell more of them in this new year. And Lindsay, you started us off great. Thank you. When we talk about relevant study, as Lindsay said, we're talking about studying the Bible. It's as simple as that, which is something in the movement we call the Covenant Church, of which we are a part. This is something we have long affirmed as central to how we understand God working in our lives. And in that, we affirm the centrality of the Word of God, the Bible. We believe the Bible is the only perfect rule for faith, doctrine, and conduct. The dynamic, transforming power of the Word of God directs the church and the life of each Christian. So you see, for us, God's Word is not optional, supplementary reading. You know, boy, it's nice stuff to pick up once in a while. No, this is primary source and inspiration. It is the dynamic, transforming power of God to direct our lives. But sometimes there's resistance, maybe in our own lives, certainly in the world. In his second letter to the young pastor Timothy, the Apostle Paul called out a reality that was even in the early churches, and this one in particularly. There were people trying to distort God's word. And he encourages Timothy very specifically by saying, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." And then he goes on and he says, all Scripture, and Lindsay picked up on this earlier, all Scripture is God-breathed, inspired by God, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God, you and me, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is totally where we take our cues to live, for how to live. And it's not based on, our cues for living are not based on the fleeting whims of culture. It's not trusting in how we might think or feel things ought to be. It's not selectively picking out what we want to believe and let the rest alone. And it doesn't mean preaching what we might think is palatable, but believe me, that would be a whole lot easier. To be a fully devoted follower of Jesus means committing ourselves and continuing to grow in what we learn from God's inspired, God-breathed word. And sometimes needing to repent when we've chosen to ignore that word. Honestly, it is incredulous to think we wouldn't hold our lives close to what God teaches us in the Bible. And this isn't just a New Testament revelation. Way back in the beautiful poetry of the Psalms, nearly 3,000 years ago now, the songwriter proclaimed that your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path. See, the illumination from the human mind, no matter how brilliant that may be at times, such light to the path, human inspiration, will never approach the luminous power of God's word to guide us through life. And what an incredible gift he's given us to even have the Bible to meet us in all seasons of life, where God inspires us and comforts us and directs us in the way to go and into life that is meaningful and purposeful. Some of you my age and older, well, maybe younger too, may remember a song that Amy Grant and Michael W. Smith, do you remember those guys? Yeah, some of you do. So they wrote a song together based on this verse, and it sings like this: "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And then the verses go, "When I feel afraid and I think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. I will not forget your love for me, and yet my heart is forever wandering. Jesus, be my guide, and hold me to your side, and I will love you to the end." You want to say this one with me then? "Because thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." When we're afraid, when we feel lost, Jesus, be our guide and hold us to your side, because your word is the light to our path through all of life. And relevant study of the word of God draws us alongside the Father, a Father who truly knows best for us. And how audacious of us to ever think we're so brilliant to second guess God. Yet, to draw close and trust these words contained here is hugely important and life-giving for us. The early covenant people of our movement were called the readers, people of the word who read the Bible. Not just the priests and the pastors, but everyone read. Again, the Apostle Paul, writing late in the first century to a very worldly compromised church in Corinth. I remember in college going on a trip to Greece and going to Corinth and hearing how decadent that culture was in that city and how the church was struggling against that. And Paul, writing to that church, calls it for what it is, that the biblical gospel, the gospel message, isn't even going to make sense to those people who aren't inclined to trust God or His Word. Here in the Amplified Version, which gives a little commentary as it goes through the text, it reads like this, 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness, absurd and illogical, to those who are perishing and spiritually dead, because they reject it. But to us who are being saved by God's grace, God's amazing grace, it is, the message of the cross is the manifestation of the power of God." If you've chosen to give God the benefit of the doubt and are willing to trust Him for what we should believe and how we should behave, then you know what? Our affection for God's Word is only going to grow and translate into the power of God working in our lives and in His world. And it will ultimately convince us what this amazing grace really means and how it impacts our lives on a daily basis. Next week, we're going to talk about the significance of worship in our walk with Christ. And praising Him deeply connects us to God relationally. And right up there with worship and prayer, relevant study of God's Word needs to be part of how we keep up the connection of paying attention to the presence of God in our lives. So, as Lindsay suggested earlier, we've got to deal with the question of how and where the Bible fits in to our experience. Back to the four pillars, if you remember. All four of them relate to behaviors that are a part of what it means, I believe, to spiritually thrive. When we're not just experiencing, but also participating in Spirit-filled worship, relevant study, sharing hope, and compassionate service. Participating in these things. And when we do that, we give the Holy Spirit room to move and to change and to grow us. Not like the church or the Christian life is ever a spectator sport, right? Just watch it all happen, kind of come, feel it, get the vibe on a Sunday morning and go home. It's not ritualized religion and checking boxes. We're going to church and doing good things. You hope you just, I'll get by then. I'll be fine. That is not it at all. God wants so much more for us than that. We're talking about going deep in a trusting relationship with God through Jesus Christ, who forgives repentant sinners and makes renewed, born-again life possible. And Lindsay did, it's like we must have been sitting next to each other when we were writing our talks, right? Because so much of what she said, I just want to reiterate. I'm not going to prescribe how you should commit to relevantly studying God's Word, because there are so many different ways to do that. And a lot of great options right here at Excelsior and in our community, CBS, BSF, Bible Study Fellowship, Alpha. But as your pastor, I'm imploring you to read God's Word, to engage it daily, to make it a point to connect with God in that way. And if you need help getting started or encouraged in that, our Bible study leaders here at church and our pastoral staff would love to help you out and encourage you in that way. That's what we're here to do, to help shepherd your walk with Christ. So please reach out. And you know, something beautiful about God, of studying God's Word, of ingesting the Scripture on a regular basis, is that for as much as we may study it, I'd like to suggest it also studies us. It's like the Holy Spirit is interfacing between the Bible and our hearts and our minds. And as the Word starts to convict us of sin, it also assures us of forgiveness and the promise of our place of belonging in God's affection. His word comes alive to us, and in uncanny ways, I can only attribute to the Holy Spirit. It brings us face to face with the reality of amazing grace. That God loves the world that much. That he would give his one and only son. That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And that life can start today. So let's pray together. Oh God, you gave us your word. Gave us the Bible as a gesture of grace that offers a glimpse of your heart and the power of your Holy Spirit then breathes life through those words, making them come alive to our hearing and overwhelming us by the amazing grace of your affection. That you should choose us for your very own and then give us instruction on how to live lives that bless others and bring joy to your heart. And so I pray for us today, Lord, that we might really be or become people who are devoted to your word, to reading and studying, ingesting and making it real for how we live and love as we want to pattern our lives after Jesus. So God, give us that assurance and encouragement to live not on a perception of wisdom within ourselves that's often little more than arrogance or selfish pride. And wash over our hearts and our brains with words of life from your holy word. And may our lives be changed for the better. Today, God, we know the Bible teaches us we can approach your throne unashamed and unafraid. And that you welcome, you even pine for our attention and to hear the cries of our hearts. And you know my cries today, Lord, as our family grieves. And I know that's true for a number of people in this space today. God, enter into those places of sorrow, of concern, of worry. And let your Holy Spirit do that convincing work that you are present, that you never leave us, you never forsake us. Whether it be in the loss of a loved one or hearing a difficult diagnosis or losing a job or whatever it is, God, we cling to life in a way that desires good and health, but yet we know all things are in your hands. And so in the name of Jesus, we ask for you to heal those who are sick in body and spirit, and that you'd bring comfort, convincing comfort to anyone here who's struggling, that we may know the peace of your presence in all of life. Knowing also, too, God, that you rejoice with those who rejoice. And we love those times. Today, Lord, we also pray for our country. It is racked by the pain of injustice and division. And particularly this weekend, we remember and celebrate the legacy of a Christian brother, Martin Luther King Jr. God, may the witness of our lives be in solidarity with all those who strive for righteousness. That we might see, that we might see all people, red and yellow, black and white, to see them all as your beloved children. We live in such a polarized age, God. May we join with your heart to tear down the dividing walls of hostility, especially as we find them in ourselves. And as people of your word, more than anything else, we pray that you might give power to the sharing of your gospel of salvation, that we might never deny that the fact is you alone hold ultimate truth, and in knowing that truth revealed in Jesus, we are set free, free from bondage to sin, into the reality of your amazing grace. Oh Lord, hear our prayers, for we pray them with earnest hearts and in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.